Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Sequel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What else you got to give him? Hallelujah. What else you got to give him? I think you're about it. You know, you're the reason he come here and had all this trouble and stuff. And so, I mean, of course you can be seated. You're not eternal yet. And you got to trade your body off. Trade your body off. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, I mean, you're what he was after when he came, and you're what he was after when he gave Adam and Eve their instructions. And, you know, so why are you shocked when, you know, you give yourself to him and he likes it? I mean, maybe you don't like yourself, but he does. Mirror, mirror on the wall, I wish you would fall. Hallelujah, Jesus. Most of us are running around like the older of the brother of the prodigal son. You get a fatted calf, and I've obeyed everything. You kill one for him. I did everything. I like his correction. He said, "Son, all I've ever had is yours." But this is the finish of the thought. The problem is, you didn't know me well enough to know that. Do we? Do we? Do we know him well enough? The best thing I found out about this is, this is not a religion. They can classify it as it. Not a religion. No, it's not. We're a family. We're not a religion. We are a family. He is our Father. So you don't want to go steal stuff from your brother, do you? Hallelujah, Jesus. I got my best Bible and drug it out here. It weighs about 50 pounds. Got my best readers. They weigh about 2 ounces. Would you believe that I taught sometimes 3 times a day here? Would you believe that I taught all the mornings? Taught the main service then. We never did really have a night, a Sunday night, but sometimes we couldn't stop. I mean, not very many times, but it was just burning too hot, so we'd just go on to Monday and Tuesday. Throw a few days in there. Okay, church tomorrow night. You know. So, I used to handle all the word just back to back. It's all stored. Now I get to come out here. Boy, we got teachers, don't we? Don't we have some teachers? I have the best time looking at our past. When Gary came, boy, what a time that was. Tim came. Tim latched on when I was still at Grace and had an office on Memorial and was just beginning to evangelize. But I've met with Bob and said, my vision, when he sent me to Tulsa, it just doesn't fit in anybody else's. I'm so sorry. So I had to follow his instructions, which I'm doing now. As time is closing and we're getting nearer and nearer the end. But he's been alerting me lately, talking about the revival that we're scheduled for is really going to penetrate deep on that scene. This is why he's calling for miracles that are out of this world. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is why he's calling for it. These two things is a journey into the love of God to the degree that it begins to manifest tangibly. I mean tangibly. In the power of miracles. That the hospitals that's got the babies is going to have the chance. Because those kids will be made whole by the power of God and delivered. It wasn't their choice. So they don't have to take it. Hallelujah, Jesus. What he needs is some people that do more than talk. And when they talk, if in the past they would have talked the word, then they wouldn't have been just doing the talking. They'd have been doing the action. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So what's the path that we're on? No matter what I do, much I pray, and what kind of prayer I'm praying, after a certain amount of time, whether it's in tongues, whether it's worship, whether it's speaking the word, it's only a matter of time until it funnels down, and whatever mode I'm in, it'll funnel down and it'll drop me off at the entire strong, over the edge, powerful awareness that the love of God is going to play on the scene in the last days. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, the love of God is going to play a role not only in people getting free, but people establishing themselves and staying strong. I told you about going over to the round building, across 75, and they had some seats up for the front, and they brought me up there, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm the man, you know. Pretty soon the ushers come over and said, we have some special guests that'd like you to move back. And I said, okay. Then they came again. Pretty soon I'm in the back anyway. Well, you know, I was just moseying through the crowd leaving at the end of it. It was good. He has lots of presence with his services. Hallelujah. It was good. And I had just been breaking into private worship, which I can give you a report on now. Never have I operated in any of the prayers that he has given us to pray. Tongues dropped me off at private worship. It was something that I prayed myself into, so it added it to what I do. Tongues introduced me to fasting. And everything I needed to build the foundation to do what he said you can do, the Holy Ghost dropped me off at that door to add to my life. You can't pray in tongues and have nothing happen. You're working his plan. You're working the turn up ahead of you before you got there or even know about it. So he wanted to manifest the fullness or the more strength of the love of God. And in order to do that, he had to acquaint me with private worship, which is when you're not with a corporate crowd or anything, and you go in there and close the door, it's just you and him, and you start worshiping. Well, how do you do that? Well, you open your mouth. Do you bellow out? No. Do you use your vocal cords real powerfully? No. What do you do in a high whisper? Father, I glorify you. I thank you. I magnify you. I lift you up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you. God, I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you know you can get lost in that? Well, this is what I found out. That the private worship had more to do with the atmosphere than any other thing that I had run into. So when I was looking across the room, the auditorium, there's all these guys who were standing around talking and things, and all of a sudden I slipped into the Spirit. It happens. And when I did, he said just as plain to me, there's an anointing of healings, and it's plural, the gifts of healings, plural. And we like the physical ones. They're fun to watch. Eye clears up and you can see. And guys, you couldn't walk and you get up, you know. You can get so high on that stuff, it's incredible. Hallelujah. But there's still another kind of healing too. And that's when he can trade your weaknesses for his strength. Unmeritable, unearnable standing of God in the place of that weakness that has plagued you so long. Sometimes you get those roots when you were treated uglier than a stick growing up. And you get born again and nobody tells you how to get free from it. Well, I got good news for you. Healings is plural because, yes, physical body, yes. But there's also a healing that can go in and strike those roots that you was given when you were young and is trying to hang on to your life, and you trade his standing off for yours by an act of grace. See? Well, when the love of God is present, see, it can do that. And when I broke into private worship, because I ask, I was earnest when I ask. Coming home from the play in Oklahoma City, Passion. For you that hadn't heard this before 5 times. Angels flew on wires. It was good. Everything was perfect as far as production. I don't know why. There just wasn't really any presence. So when I asked him, boy, he told me right what to do. Did you do it? Not for a year. Why? Because I was dumb. He said, you go home and worship me all night. You'll find out. Did you? Not for a year. See, I knew about worship somewhat. People railed on it quite a bit at times. But little did I know it was a presence gift. And of all the things that He's gave me, the power of the Holy Spirit, I thought the praying in tongues was the presence gift. No, it's the instructions and things. And of course it's going to anoint you. Of course it's going to edify and build you up. But then He'll give you something like that that'll take you in. And so now I know that I found a private worship to be one of the most powerful tools as a presence gift. And when I first started showing up, I didn't know what to do. People started weeping and bawling, and we couldn't hardly do anything here. And I thought, well, this is just the prayer center. No, it followed. Did you know what was causing it? I suspected it. That what He had said about private worship and that. But then when I purposely set out to prove a yes or no, I found out the most powerful thing I know now, as far as presence is concerned, is the private worship that suspends your spirit, your heart, or faith, or anointings, where things flow from. When you suspend that in His presence for hour after hour, you're going to experience something. Hallelujah. Well, just because the Holy Spirit, you know, in fact, fasting brought me to the Holy Spirit, that part, but then the Holy Spirit brought me back to fasting, and I found out about fasting after I fasted. You're not supposed to break a 40-day and then run a cow down, kill it, and eat it. Nothing but hooves laid in there. That means you're overeating at the end of a fast. Somebody says, the other fasting, you know, and somebody comes over, hey, I'll cook a meal for your family. Oh, we can't do that. Jacob is fasting, and we can't do it. What do you think fasting's about? The whole world has to come to attention so you can fast? You're missing the point. I don't care if they put all the food on your lower lip and ate off of it. You're not supposed to eat it. What do you think you're getting out of the fasting? It isn't, okay, I won't do it if the whole world will just put their food away when I come down the road, and you panty waste. Somebody said, you what? That means you lift weights, but you're still a little girly.
You're going to eat when I'm fasting.
You already failed your fast. Hallelujah. Well, the flesh. Fasting is a good. I was able to maintain the private worship with the strength it brought me. And then fasting, finally the edge rose above the resistance, and private worship played a monstrous part in that. Because they really recommended fasting, Jesus did.
How come we couldn't count that damn aloud?
Your unbelief.
Could you tell us how to fix it?
They didn't say that, but He did.
Help me, my unbelief. Please.
Well, He says, yeah, this kind cometh not, but by
prayer and fasting.
What does going without eating have to do with anything? Wait. I gained. Hallelujah. Why don't you go over to Matthew
9. We'll kick in with the 14th verse for a couple of verses. A little bit here on fasting. These signs will follow them that believe. Well, no, it said these signs will follow an evangelist. No, it didn't. Well, a prophet. No, it didn't. Well, a man with the working of miracles, yes. But he said these signs will follow who? Them that believe. Who's stopping you from going over to a sick friend's house and laying your hands on them? Healing gifts isn't exclusive. They're for the believer. They're for the believer. When I go to the hospital anymore, I go thinking I'm going to get them out. Well, you're supposed to pray for them. You're supposed to get them out. What's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven you, or rise up and walk? Are you saying they're sinning? No, I'm just giving an example from the Word. You were reading that, wasn't you? Then came to him the disciples, verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and that day you shall fast. Well, why? No man puts a piece of new cloth onto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up takes from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottle break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine in new bottles, and both are preserved. Now back to the question. Then came the disciples of John, saying, why do we fast off? The Pharisees fast. They don't fast at all. Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom's with them? The day's coming, I'll be taken away, and then you will fast. So they're asking him about fasting. And say, we notice your disciples don't fast at all. John's and those, they fast all the time. He said, why should they when the bridegroom's with them? Day's coming when they'll be taken away, and those days you will fast. He says, do you put a new patch on an old garment? Well, the rent would be made worse. I can just see them going. On what? Oh, you don't put new wine in an old bottle. It'll burst. And they're going, okay. What question did we ask you? How come your disciples don't fast? Okay, we got that. Because you can't put new wine in old bottles. Thank you. Thank you. We now know everything that we need to know about fasting. Thank you so much. Thank you. But this is what he was saying. You can't put new wine in old bottles. Because in the fermentation process, it'll bust the old bottle. Won't hold it. That what Jesus was saying is, I'm about to descend. I haven't descended to the Father yet. And when I do, I'm going to have to put new wine into old garments. Because he's asking the question, answering the question. He said, I'll be descended in that day. But what's going to happen? Well, you're going to get a new born-again spirit, but unfortunately it has to leave you in the same old garment, the same old wineskin. But this was his answer to their question. In those days, you will fast. Why? Because you don't put new wine in old bottles, but I have to. And since I have to, in those days, you'll fast. And that fasting will supply the mortification that you'll need for the duration of the operation of the new mind through your lifetime.
That's what he was saying about fasting.
Well, why couldn't we cast that devil out?
And he was very, you know, slow and hinted at it and hardly told him. He didn't just, you know, scare him real bad. He said, because of your unbelief. Oh, thank you. Thank you. As you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Well, when they asked him, he said, well, this kind cometh not but by prayer and what?
Fasting.
See, fasting can help cause the old wineskin, the old garment, to last out the duration of the operation of the new wine that's down on the inside of you. When I started going on those first fasts, I came out looking for him to do something. You know, I fasted so many days. All right. Get up and walk.
I can't.
See, 40 days, yeah? Was it 40? Yeah, wait a minute. Get up and walk.
I can't.
You can't imagine how kind of disappointed I felt. I did. I was supposed to do it and run and prayed for him. And it didn't happen like I thought. So I did some more study on it, on the wild cards, like A.A. Allen and different ones like that. You know what they did? Allen says, A.A., not our Allen. He said he told his wife, I don't see what's in the Bible, they flicked it, getting up off the beds and he said, then you can come in and get my body. He's going to fast until he died or God came and did something. Well, he was in a closet locked away in a dark room. He saw some feet standing in front of him. The problem is, if you force God like that, I mean, that's you're that's honorable. I mean, you're willing to die to see something happen or go on. You know, but some of them don't end up too well at the end of their life in the ministries that they're in. Branham, same way. At one point, he didn't believe that women had a spirit. You know, then lust of other things, the God complex. He's talking a little bit about it. Lust for other things, God complex. One time I went to Israel, Jerusalem. I was preaching. And I went to a friend's home. And they had a prophet's quarters. I didn't want it. But they had it. I knew them. We were friends. They were missionaries. And so I said, well, you have a prophet's chamber, huh? We were in a hotel, you know. You got a prophet's chamber, huh? Yeah. She says, yes. I says, is there a prophet up there? She says, yes, we had a prophet that came. He said, come from some other nation. I'm a prophet, and I heard you have a prophet chamber. Yeah. And then she said, a few days later or so, a month, another prophet came and said, I heard you have a prophet's chambers. I'm Elijah to come. She said, well, Elijah to come got here about 2 months ago too. But you can bunk with him. Two Elijahs to come.
Yeah.
Well, what would he say? And I'll be taken away. I have to put the new wine in an old bottle. But fasting is going to maintain your body. The temptations, any argument it wants to throw against you, you can overcome it. And yes, the anointing does increase because you get free in the Spirit. Yes, your flesh can't rule over you. You rule over it. You're executing the position it's been declared, which is dead, and it doesn't have the power to make you do what it wants. It's the other way around. Well, other preachers, I watched them. They did the same thing. God, I'd rather die before operating in a powerless ministry. So they would go in with every intention of dying or having him move. And from studying it, what I picked up generally, they would be a strong move that would follow it for a time. Then they seemed to fall to something. I guess they forced his hand into something they couldn't walk in yet. I don't know, but I admire the strength they walked in. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, are you going to do a series on fasting again every January? We're getting close to something. And he's been talking to me about that other thing, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what was loose in the early world. I was wondering, they lived so long. They lived so long. And the world wasn't overstaffed with people at the end of 2,000 years. Where were all the people when they could have kids for 600 years? I wondered who the sons of God was that found the daughters in men fair and took on them whom they would. So what in the world is going on here? Well, the devil's had success and termination using that very powerful emotional perversion that brought them all kinds of damned satisfaction. It's picking up momentum now. But the reason it's not going to take over like it did Sodom, Gomorrah, the early world, is because we have people who are born again and are new creations and don't have that death nature anymore. We're not going. We're going to a revival. Yes. Hallelujah. Whew.
Well, how come you our disciples fast and yours hardly fast at all?
Why should they when I'm with them? Day's coming soon, I'll be taken away. You don't put new wine in old bottles, but I'm about to have to do that. I got to leave you in your old wineskin. But fasting is going to help it sustain mortification. It's going to help overcome its weaknesses while the duration of the new wine comes to maturity and you do your ministry. Say, hallelujah, Jesus. I don't know many people that love God as much as you do. But then I don't have measuring things to measure people out too far. But I do know some things. You love Him. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. There's someone here. Said, how do you know? I looked. In fact, he kind of stopped me. I thought I was going to get to rattle on a little bit. But he thinks what he has to say is more important. If lightning hits right there, he knows I was kidding. I mean, it doesn't hit me, you know, around. You're here, and how can I tell you the importance of praying in tongues? Fasting is pretty close to... Fasting helps us open the door, secure and sustain what He can show you by the Spirit. But you're here and you say, I can't speak with tongues. I can't pray in tongues. See? He says when the adoption is made complete at the redemption of our bodies, He said that meanwhile the Spirit helps our weaknesses, our infirmities, being in these bodies. We don't know how to pray as we ought. That He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of God for us, and then He frees Him to make intercession for us according to the will of God. Then you can know that all things will begin to turn to the good of you that is called for His purpose. So we know that we're in this body. We know. It's okay. Likewise, the Spirit also helps the infirmities or the weakness caused from walking in these bodies. Don't know how to pray, and He's offered Himself up to help us in the middle of that limitation and infirmities. Don't know how to pray as we ought. He says, it's okay. I'll supply it. And it'll be His will for you. We really don't have time to pray. Come on. We really don't have time. You know what you should do? Increase your prayer and add fasting to it. Well, I do work a job. So did I when I started that. You might as well know, you know, that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. No matter what hell throws at us, we're not even going to look back. He doesn't like us. He doesn't like what we're doing. We won't obey Him. And we don't follow Him. This stuff we're uncovering now, He didn't mean it to be uncovered. Well, that's just too bad. The closer we get to the love of God, I mean the manifestation of it tangibly, how would we know that the real revival rages there? It's always been men in different times that would reach a stage and the workings of miracles or something would be in there. And it would do pretty well. But though I speak with tongues of men and angels, He didn't say pray in tongues. He said you're filled and have not love. I had all faith I could move mountains and have not. Covet earnestly the best gifts. What he was really trying to get over is you go after the love of God with the same tenacity you wanted to glorify Him with the power. You'd not only get all of it, but you would get what goes with it. Hallelujah. It's getting interesting. He told me for 6 years he was going to kill me. And he intensified last year in Brazil when a room full of devils showed up. One was a witch doctor from the Amazon, but she was an angel in disguise too. You'd be amazed, Paul said, that Satan can transform himself as an angel of light. Well, they showed up and they tried to kill me, and I was wondering why. I didn't think I was a worse threat that year than any year. And I found out it was because that he was beginning to introduce me to that love. Even the light touches I've had of it passes anything I've ever felt. There's no fear there. Why? Because he got rid of it. Love casts out fear. It never fails because it doesn't have anything that can cause its failure. Just stay with me over these next few years. Let's see what we can get a hold of. Amen. Hallelujah.